You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 16th of April 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshank, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, once again, it's the end of another week. The weekend is almost here, and you know what that means? It means we have Grandpa Dan with us today. Grandpa, how is Texas treating you?
It's rainy here, believe it or not. It's actually cooled off. It's kind of rainy. You know, it's a nice, this is our kind of little break we get before the blistering heat of summer comes barreling down on us. So, yeah, you know, it's good. Enjoying it, man. We have to take it when we can get it, because spring and fall are the really short seasons. It seems like winter drags on forever, and then summer sure as heck drags on forever. So we got to take it where we can get it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sunny day over here on the other side of the Atlantic as well. But we have had some cold nights, nice weather outside. It was nice weather last weekend for some rallies that took place in America that were advertised all over the newspapers, all over the mainstream media. There was going to be these huge white supremacist, neo-Nazi, far-right rallies taking place, and it looks like nobody turned up. In semi-private, encrypted chats, neo-Nazis and other far-right extremists planned rallies in dozens of cities on Sunday to promote their racist movements and spread their ideologies to larger audiences. Hyped up by organisers as events that would make the whole world tremble, the rallies ran into a major problem. Hardly anyone showed up. And I am really encouraged by this, because these adverts for these rallies were quite clear that they were put on by the sort of people that wanted to encourage terrorism, that wanted to insult people, that wanted to be offensive. They were clearly aimed at the lowest common denominator, and I think a lot of them sort of really fulfilled the image that the left has of what a nationalist is. So it was quite clear that Antifa were involved in this. I think it was quite clear that the FBI were involved in this. They were showing images of skinheads with tattoos all over their heads as a way to encourage people to go along to these rallies. And the fact that nobody turned up really does say that people are waking up to what is going on. And I'm also pleased to see that that's the way that the FBI are targeting this, because that is the sort of people that might be prone to terrorism, and that's the sort of people you want them to identify, really. So all in all, I'm very pleased that nobody turned up. What do you make of it, Grandpa?
Yeah, the feds went to all the trouble to plan a party, and no one showed up to their nobody showed up to their party, because, I mean, yeah, you're talking about the lowest common denominator, and that's what we're talking about. I mean, you would have to be really just completely unplugged from reality to not see something like this and know that it's a total setup. And we can say the FBI, Antifa, anti-racist groups, but they're all pretty much the same thing. They're all intertwined on some level or another. You know, what was it set up by the employees or by the employer? It doesn't really matter. The same company is behind it. And I do. I'm like you, Sven. I think it's a great thing that people are actually like tuned in enough to understand, you know, wow, you know, see this from a mile away and to stay far, far away from it.
Well, I mean, even a genuine legal protest like the one that happened at the Capitol, it has ended up with lots of people being arrested and all the people that turned up being portrayed as if they were insurrectionists, when in actual fact they turned up to support the government. They turned up to support the legally elected government and the president that was in power. It certainly wasn't an insurrection. So when you've actually got the president saying to people, come and protest about what has happened with the election, and the people that turn up end up all being arrested and accused of being insurrectionists, then what do people think is going to happen when you have a rally that is advertised as a far-right neo-Nazi rally? The White Lives Matter rallies, the first major real-world organising efforts by white supremacists since 2018, were planned on the encrypted app Telegram after many aligned groups were alleged to have taken part in the January 6th storming of the US Capitol. The poor showing underscores how the country's unpopular and disorganised extremist movements have been driven underground by increased scrutiny from the media, law enforcement agencies, and far-left activists who infiltrate their private online spaces and disrupt their attempts to communicate and organize. So they're claiming this is a great triumph of the left and the FBI in that nobody turned up, but nobody was being encouraged to turn up. I mean, I saw these adverts a couple of weeks back, and I thought, well, you'd have to be a complete idiot to show up to this. Look at the terminology that they use here. It's all white supremacists and aligned groups took part in the storming of the US Capitol. And this was mainly boomers that turned up to protest the election results at the Capitol. I don't think there was any white supremacists there. And I mean, you look at the Proud Boys, and they were led by somebody who is non-white, who is apparently an FBI informant, and they even portray them as white supremacists. They're portraying QAnon as white supremacists. It just seems to be that if you are actually white, then you're going to be called a supremacist. And they were trying to link this with Unite the Right rally that took place in 2018. And I think that was a genuine rally. People genuinely wanted to go there and unite the right, and they wanted to protest the statues that were being pulled down. And it was just turned into a complete trap. They basically shut down the rally before it started, even though they had a legal permit for it. And they allowed the Antifa, who had no legal permit for it, to just attack the nationalists. And then, of course, it got portrayed as the deadly far-right Charlottesville rally. And of course, people are aware of that is what is going to happen when you have these rallies. I mean, over here in Britain now, we don't advise people to go to any protests, because it's just a magnet for the left to turn up with cameras and film you and dox you and cause you to lose your job. And on top of that, at this one, it looks like it was also set up by the FBI. So they were probably hoping to arrest people that actually turned up to this. So they're saying this was a great triumph for them because nobody turned up. And we're saying this is a great triumph for us because nobody turned up, because it was such an obvious trap.
Yeah, I mean, they're taking a victory lap here. But I mean, like you said, really the victory lap is ours, because, you know, I mean, are people supposed to be ashamed that they're actually learning from experience? You know, I mean, this is, like you said, this was such an obvious trap. I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, what they're basically admitting here, because they say driven underground by increased scrutiny from the media, law enforcement agencies, and far left activists. And they're essentially admitting that these entities are all working, they're all interconnected and working together for the same goal. It's not just something that's come about by happenstance. They're all interrelated, they're all working together for the same goal, which I thought that was kind of interesting. At the end of the day, one has to ask themselves, you know, what's the purpose? You were talking about discouraging people from these obvious traps, and yeah, what's the purpose? What, after Charlottesville, I was like, I remember saying, you know, well, what are the purpose? People are like, well, we got to get back there, we got to, you know, back in the streets. And it's like, for what end? I mean, if you could say, well, if we do this, we accomplish this goal, then fine, you know, okay. But when it's just, well, we have to show them, you know, that something, you know, there's no real goal here. You're wanting people to go in the streets and have a protest, and you know it's set up, and you know it's going to wind up in a violent clash. And we know after Charlottesville, they literally came out and said that only people from the right, who, as you pointed out, had legal permits, had every right to be there, could be blamed for all of the violence, regardless. And they said this, regardless of who actually did the violence, only people on the right. We see this the same way with the Capitol, the January 6th happening, the protest at the Capitol. One person, you know, was legitimately killed as a result of the protest, and that was one of the protesters who was gunned down in cold blood by the Capitol Police. Nothing happened. You know, she was gunned down, unarmed. And that was okay. People were arrested. They've had their lives ruined. I guess they were all white supremacists, too. And, you know, now their lives are ruined. People in jail. There's reports that some of them are actually being beaten and tortured by the guards. This is a real thing. So when they pop up with one of these things, hey, y'all, come on. Hello. Hello, my fellow neon Nazis. Let's go down here and show them with a protest. And people see it from a mile away and they stay away. And yet now that nobody showed up to their little party that they had pre-planned, they had the media there ready to take pictures. They had, you know, if anybody would have showed up, then it would have been, oh, look, these guys got beat down. They were so outnumbered. But nobody showed up because basically people weren't stupid enough to fall for such an obvious trap. Again, what point would showing up to one of these things even have? Even if you were dense enough not to see the trap, you have to ask yourself, okay, well, what positive results are coming from showing up to the street to have what would amount to a brawl with the leftists, with the communists, who we know that the law enforcement, that the police, the FBI are going to protect? No charges will go against them for attacking you. You're going to be charged for trying to defend yourself. There is no upside here. There is nobody can present an upside and say, oh, well, yes, but this will be accomplished if we do this. There is no upside. There's really absolutely no point to it. And it's not as though we're not making headway. Now that Tucker Carlson, people like Tucker Carlson are now being openly called white supremacists. Everybody at the Capitol that showed up to support Trump, like you said, to support the legitimately elected government, has now been deemed a white supremacist, racist, neo-Nazi, militia, wanting to have an insurrection and a coup, so on and so forth. These words are losing their meaning because now they're using them to basically describe anybody that opposes the oligarchy, that opposes the global homo agenda.
Yeah, you know, the person that actually shot Ashley Babbitt, the police officer that shot Ashley Babbitt, they've actually dropped the charges against him. And at least you could say with Charlottesville that there was a reason for the people being there. It was all supposed to be filmed. It was going to be streamed. There were going to be lots of people, famous people, that were going to be speaking there. And Red Ice actually got their accounts hacked and stolen, and it was actually an iPhone that was hacked as well, which you're not supposed to be able to hack into, and that messed all of that up. So there was a reason. It wasn't just let's just turn up and protest at Unite the Right. There was going to be thousands of people that would have been watching it all over the world, and it would have woken lots of people up. Whereas this was just let's all turn up and have a fight with the left. I guess that was what the point of this was. Well, few White Lives Matter marchers showed up Sunday, but anti-racist and anti-fascist groups gathered just the same. In Raleigh, North Carolina, a small crowd of Antifa and anti-racist protesters gathered at the park where the White Lives Matter march was planned. They marched around downtown behind a large white sign that read, "We accept your surrender." And there's no mention at all of any White Lives Matter people turning up at this one. In Philadelphia, activists tweeted photos of a counter-protest picnic with pizza and tasty cake snacks. In New York City, over a dozen counter-protesters stood seemingly unopposed across the street from Trump Tower, where a White Lives Matter rally was expected. And then later on in the article, we read that two of the largest Telegram channels dedicated to events in Philadelphia and New York City were shown to be traps created by anti-fascist activists. So both the rallies in Philadelphia and New York City had actually been set up and arranged by Antifa, and nobody turned up for them. And yet they're claiming this is a great, great win for them. I mean, it's incredible just the way they write the article, as if you're not going to be clever enough to realize later on when you get down the article that they're actually telling you that that was set up by Antifa anyway. So of course there was nobody there. So it's not really a win for them. It's a win for us.
Yeah, and nobody fell for the trap. And you can't get, you know, I always think when they talk about these things, you know, Antifa, the feds, we're talking about intermingled things. We saw that earlier, the media, Antifa, the feds, they're all working together. They're all intermingled. I would imagine there's a significant, you know, even if you were to say, okay, well, there's no proof that Antifa is directly working for the feds, but the fact that you have, when you do have these confrontations, such as what you had at Charlottesville, and they don't get prosecuted for any laws they break. We see the looting and rioting where they take part as part of these BLM protests. They never get charged. Nothing ever happens to them. And yet people on the right, nationalists, they get charged. They get thrown under the bus, under the jail, as far underground as they possibly can. So by extension, they're working together. And this article out and out, you know, admits that. But yeah, I think it's hilarious that you go along and they finally admit that the whole thing was a setup and nobody fell for the setup. And they're like, aha, we won. See, none of you showed up. Well, yeah. I mean, why would you? That would just, you know, there would be absolutely, you know, absolutely no point to it.
Well, they say police in downtown Albuquerque, New Mexico, formed a circle around a lone protester to separate him from a large crowd of counter-protesters. And just remember, this is the first actual White Lives Matter protester that we have read about here in the whole article. We've heard about three of these rallies so far. So there was one person that turned up, and he turned up with all the police around him. And that's the one that appears in most of the photographs, I think, giving a Hitler salute with his trademark skull mask on, as if he's still there from 2015. It's 2021 now. I don't think many people are out there wearing skull masks still. Three protesters assembled around a White Lives Matter banner outside City Hall in Fort Worth, Texas, where a police line separated them from a couple of dozen counter-protesters. Again, so that was probably the FBI that actually did turn up here and had the police with them. Hundreds of counter-protesters, bystanders and media members gathered at a counter-protest at the scheduled start time of a White Lives Matter march at Huntington Beach Pier, southeast of Los Angeles. So what we see here is that all the meeting points for the people that were supposed to be supporting White Lives Matter have actually just been full of Antifa. It's actually been the Antifa meeting point, because all of these were set up by them. Instead of them having a Black Lives Matter march, what they did basically was organize for there to be a White Lives Matter one so that they could pretend to be the counter protesters. And I guess then they know that they're not going to be prosecuted for any violence, don't they? If they're turning up and they're supposedly counter protesting White Lives Matter, they can get away with anything. I mean, they can pretty much get away with anything, as we saw with the riots last year. But it's even more likely they're going to get away with it if they're seen to be counter protesting the nasty neo-Nazis, I guess.
Yeah. And I like how you pointed out, you know, you have these lone, one or two people show up, you know, obviously on the FBI payroll. So they have to have their security around them, because if they weren't, they would have let, you know, the clash happen. And that way they could have got some good footage of these people getting their asses kicked, you know. So the FBI informants, they've got to, got to keep them protected, got to keep their guys protected. This is also obvious. I mean, it's just amazing. It's like the old joke, you know, whenever they bring up, they drudge up the Ku Klux Klan, you know, as if that's a thing. I mean, because like literally everybody knows, like if you were to go to a Klan meeting and there were like 10 people there, you know, nine of them are probably on the Fed payroll in one shape, you know, one form or another, trying to figure out a way to get the one idiot that showed up there to get him entrapped so that they can get some credit for having stopped an evil Ku Klux Klan plot. I mean, everybody knows this stuff. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to figure it out. Everybody's figured out this stuff. I mean, and as we're going to get into here in a minute, they're not even coming up with new material. The guy out there with the skull mask doing, you know, doing the Roman salute. I mean, really, it's like stage up for this. Okay, you know, here's the part where you do. They had to make the best that they could of this to try to, you know, they were hoping some more idiots would show up. They would get some idiots showed up. They could get some better optics. But when nobody showed up to the party, they had to make the best of it they could. So they had their payroll guy walk out there and put on the get up. He sure, and you can be guaranteed this guy, you know, one guy shows up to this deal. One guy. Everybody's looking at this one guy. And I could sit here with great confidence and guarantee you this one guy is not going to be doxxed. He's not going to be doxxed. I mean, at some point in time, he'd have to go back to his car, right? You know, you would think they wouldn't have a problem doxxing this one guy. But now he's got this barricade of police got this barricade of police around him, posing for the pictures with his skull mask, doing his Roman salute, you know, they had to just salvage the situation and make the best of it that they can. And it was a total, their operation here was a total and complete flop. So they had to salvage it the best they can. And they're trying to frame this up as some sort of, you know, victory. We've made this great victory. Look, they're all afraid. It's like, no, nobody fell for your obvious stupid trap here.
I'm surprised the guy that was doing the Roman salute, I'm surprised he didn't have his swastika flag there still with the creases in it like the guy did at Charlottesville. Well, according to flyers for the event, which recycled images from old propaganda from the disbanded neo-Nazi organization Vanguard America, the marches were meant to take a stand against the media, government and educational institutions that are, quote, anti-white. The slogan White Lives Matter has been promoted on flyers and banners by white supremacist groups, including neo-Nazis and Ku Klux Klan groups, since 2015 as a racist response to the Black Lives Matter movement, according to the Anti-Defamation League. And how can they claim that it's racist? If it's okay to say Black Lives Matter, why is it automatically racist when you say White Lives Matter? And they're really not trying very hard here, are they? If they're recycling old propaganda from Vanguard America from years ago, and it just shows that they haven't got a clue, have they? They don't know how to create new propaganda. They're just going to use old stuff there, and they think, well, that will work. That will get people to come along to it. And again, they mention these Ku Klux Klan groups here, and I don't think the Klan has really been a thing since the end of the war. I mean, Dr. David Duke, he joined the Klan, I think, in the early 70s, and he tried to revive one of these groups. It was totally anti-violence, and of course, Dr. David Duke is pro-human rights for everyone, and yet they still link that to him today. It's always former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke, even though he hasn't been in the Ku Klux Klan for 40 years. It's just one of these buzzwords that they use. They even use it in Britain now. They will talk about the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis, but it really isn't a thing. And what they're trying to do here is link it with White Lives Matter. And of course, White Lives Matter is a pretty innocuous thing to say. It's just the same as saying it's okay to be white. It's a very benign thing to say. The whole point of having a slogan like that is because the mainstream media will attack it and claim that it is racist. And of course, anybody with an ounce of common sense can see that and see, well, there's nothing racist about that at all. It's double standards here, quite clearly double standards. If people can talk about Black Lives Matter, but they can't talk about White Lives Matter, then they're being absolute hypocrites. And that is the whole point of having it. So it just works out as good propaganda for us when they attack White Lives Matter. It worked particularly well for us at the height of the Black Lives Matter riots last year, when there were three or four white men that were stabbed to death by an Islamic radical. And this was right after a Black Lives Matter protest had taken place, and somebody flew a White Lives Matter banner over a football ground. And it was pointing out that it was actually white lives that had been taken. As I say, it was three or four young white men that had been stabbed in a park. And this banner was flown as a response to that. And of course, the banner was completely attacked in the media. That they said it was racist. They banned the guy that had paid for this banner to be flown above the football ground. They banned him from his football ground in Burnley for the rest of his life. And I think that really woke a lot of people up to the double standards here, because a lot of people were saying, well, yeah, we support this Black Lives Matter movement. Of course, black lives do matter, but isn't it a little bit racist to not say all lives matter? And then, of course, when somebody does say all lives matter or says white lives matter, and they get accused of being racist, I mean, that is going to wake people up and realize that we are now second class citizens as white people within our own countries. And I do have to point out that it is our own fault that we are in this situation. It is our own elected representatives who have put those conditions in place where we have become second class citizens. What do you make of what they say here, Grandpa, about the slogan itself, White Lives Matter?
Well, nobody even needs to show up to this stuff because they're essentially doing our work for us. The anti-white race-hating agenda, which, I mean, it's so obvious now. I don't know how anybody would not be able to see it. It's so obvious and blatant now that the only people that are turning a blind eye to it are having to willfully turn a blind eye to it. It's not like this is subtle. It's not like this is subtle anymore. I love how in this very story, they say the marches were meant to supposedly take a stand against the media, government, and educational institutions that are, and then they use scare quotes here, anti-white. Quote unquote, like scare. Oh, like, you know, oh, they're just claiming like it's a conspiracy theory. But then they go on to say just saying that white lives matter is a racist response, according to the anti-definitionally, because they destroy definitions, the Anti-Defamation League, you know, just saying that white lives matter is racist. And they have the audacity to, in the earlier part of the same paragraph, they put anti-white and scare quotes like, oh, this is some sort of crackpot conspiracy. They're just trying to claim that this, they're all working together as an anti-white conspiracy. But yet then they go on and say something that is harmless as should be, just, well, yeah, no duh, and white lives matter. They go on to demonize this, to say, well, saying white lives matter is a racist, evil, a racist response, an evil thing. You're not allowed to say white lives matter. That's all it does. No, they're essentially saying that white lives don't matter. I mean, the anti-white race hating narrative here is just in everybody's face. So who needs to show up for their little set up traps to, I don't know, march around in the street? You know, like you said, I was sitting here chuckling when you were saying you were surprised the guy there didn't have his fresh unfolded swastika flag like the guy in Charlottesville, who, by the way, is like one of the few people from that whole thing that didn't get doxxed. Once again, isn't that just amazing? No, they're so obvious with this now. They're essentially doing the work of the nationalists for them, because, you know, they sit here and they will say something that is so in your face, like you said, like the whole it's okay to be white, and they have a big meltdown over it. So it doesn't really look like this whole anti-white agenda is really a conspiracy after all. They seem to be, I guess unintentionally, I guess they're not nearly that smart, they seem to be verifying, there seem to be verifying this supposed conspiracy in their very articles, in their very press releases, and surely by these very things they're doing.
By acting in unison, they just prove that there is a conspiracy behind it. Sunday's round of racist rallies seemed destined for failure, said Megan Squire, a computer science professor at Elon University in North Carolina, who tracks online extremism. The online organizers of the North Carolina rally were uninformed about state law governing protests, including laws that disallowed firearms, Squire said. The organizers were also generally inept at using Telegram, where the event was announced, and unable to identify obvious trolls in their midst. The efforts behind Sunday's rallies were haphazard and ill-informed, Squire said. They're not sending their best. They're not sending anybody at all. I mean, this was entirely set up by Antifa. That's why they weren't any good at using Telegram, and that's why they were encouraging people to bring weapons with them, because they obviously knew that the law was that you weren't allowed to have weapons there at North Carolina. They always bring in these experts, this Megan Squire, who tracks online extremism, and she says it was destined for failure. Well, of course it was. It was just all Antifa from start to finish. What do you make of the computer science expert here, Grandpa?
I don't know, this remark she makes about they're not sending their best. I'm just wondering if that was like a backhanded slap at the FBI. You know, y'all need to come up and do a little y'all need to come up and do a little better. You need to dedicate some guys that are a little more original to these efforts. You know, to these efforts or something. Yeah, isn't it amazing? I was going through this and I thought, isn't this amazing? They try on the one hand to create this narrative of these evil white supremacists, you know, which again I point out time and time again, but we never have any actual definition of these terms: neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and nobody actually even knows what that means. We're just supposed to get this reaction, this emotional reaction, the really bad people, but nobody really knows what that means, because more and more people are being lumped into these categories every day. Like I said, I saw a deal the other day. They're openly saying now Tucker Carlson is a white supremacist. He's promoting white supremacist ideology. But they're trying to spread this narrative that, like, you know, there's these evil boogeymen, white supremacists out there. But then you have people like this woman, and they're essentially, if that was true, they're doxing this woman and putting her in danger, aren't they? They're putting her name out there, where she works, and she's one of the one tracking these on, you know, these extremists online. I mean, it seems to me like, you know, if these people are really so dangerous, and these boogeymen are floating around out there in the shadows, just waiting for their opportunity to strike, they're putting Megan Squire in some sort of danger by just throwing her name out there and telling everybody where she works, because these extremists could be out there hunting her down. Because they know it's bullshit. I mean, they know this is a boogeyman of their own creation, just like these rallies were an attempt. They were part of their own creation. Antifa, the media, the FBI, all working together, trying to get somebody stupid enough to show up. Nobody was stupid enough to show up. And so they're trying to salvage the operation and frame a narrative and make the best of it that they can. Look, they didn't show up, not because they weren't stupid enough to show up, but because, well, we've just been so successful at driving these extremists underground. But they haven't gone away. Don't worry, they haven't gone underway. Look, we're going to quote this woman, give her full name, her occupation, where she works. And apparently they're not worried about any of these dangerous extremists coming after. It's also absurd because there are no dangerous extremists out there. I mean, yeah, she's always going to have some nutcase. I mean, you have that with anything, you know, but that's not a part of any kind of organized thing, any kind of organized movement. And they know it. They know it. They're just trying to create this boogeyman narrative so that perhaps people will be afraid to actually notice that there really is a open, blatant anti-white agenda here, and you can't not see it. They go around and promote Black Lives Matter, but if you dare say White Lives Matter too, well, you're an extremist, you're a white supremacist and a neo-Nazi, and you have to be silenced, you have to be banned. It's also absurd. And they did this on Telegram, and my understanding, I don't keep up with this stuff very much, but I think weren't people already being banned from Telegram left and right? But oh, lo and behold, these extremists are organizing on Telegram with absolutely no problem whatsoever. She's right about that. They truly aren't sending their best.
It's the extremist nutcases, the ones that are likely to attack people and cause problems for them. They're all on the left. I mean, that's what we hear being done to nationalists when they get doxxed. We don't hear of people like this Megan Squire losing her job or being losing her bank accounts or losing her social media accounts. It's always the nationalists that get attacked like that. Not only have organized larger groups splintered, but so too did their social media footprint, said Brian Levin, director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino. Some extremists continued a whack-a-mole migration underground to encrypted affinity-based platforms, while others exited these movements altogether. The realignment and the lack of cohesive leadership don't lessen the threat from extremist groups, however. The risk now, Levin says, can be found in loners and cells who act on their own combination of hatreds and idiosyncrasies, often cobbled together from a constant all-you-can-eat buffet of stereotyping and conspiracies that still populate online discourse. And this is the really tragic thing about this, because there are loners and there are idiots that will go out and do crazy things. And the reason why they do this is because we can no longer talk about these things. There is no longer a discourse taking place in Twitter or on Facebook. There's no longer any debate. You just cannot find it because they just shut it all down. And when you prevent people from being able to talk, then the only way they have left to respond is with using their fists. When you censor everything and prevent people from talking about the things that the real issues that they can see that are affecting society, then it all gets bottled up, and you do end up with crazies that then go out and do these stupid things. So he is speaking quite truthfully here, that the risk is from these loners and these weirdos that will go out and attack people. But the reason why we have these loners and weirdos that are in the position where they will go out and attack people is because people like this Brian Levin have worked to shut down all the people that are trying to talk about these things in a legal way within the law, and that don't have a violent bone in their bodies and are not trying to incite hate in any way. They get rid of everybody who does things like that, and then they just get left with these crazies. And because there is no longer anywhere online where they can talk and be social to one another, they haven't got a hope in hell of actually finding them before they will go out there and carry out some kind of crazy attack. And this is why we've had this increase Ing attacks over the last few years, it's not because we've had all the information online, it's because all the information online is being censored and you can't find it now. And people feel that they've got no hope because there's nobody that is speaking up for them. So, you know, that's the reason they've actually created this situation in which this sort of thing can happen. And they are the reason why we are in that situation. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on this epic fail by the FBI?
Well, and these echo chambers, because they do, they create an echo chamber. It's, I guess what I want to say is it's also unhealthy for the leftists, for your run-of-the-mill leftists. That's basically all that's left now on mainstream social media, such as Twitter and Facebook. And so it's also unhealthy for them because you create the echo chamber for them. And they wind up with this view that the entire world, you know, sides with their views, with their ideology. They're never given like a contrasting view to challenge theirs. So their views never get tested. So they assume that everybody else must think the same way. And so when they do run into people that disagree with them, they don't know how to handle it. It's actually very unhealthy. It's very unhealthy for everybody involved. And you're right. I mean, when you create this situation where people aren't allowed to talk, they're not allowed to say anything. I mean, and now we've got people, and we warned for years that this was coming. And now, lo and behold, the future has arrived, and now we're here. We warned for years that they were going to come after people of the most, you know, for the most tepid things that they might say. And now we're seeing that. We're seeing normal people being fired from their jobs, being persecuted, being run through the mill. And for saying really obvious truths, you know, if you have a teacher that says, well, you know, I have a real problem with my black students being able to grasp this material, you know, nobody's going to sit there and say, well, why is that? Well, let's figure out, you know, no, they just fire them for bad thought, because that's apparently white supremacy. Now this is all migrated to everybody. Normal Trump supporters are all white supremacists. People that went to a protest at the president's calling, showed up to the Capitol, they're all white supremacists. They're all neo-Nazis. They're all neo-Nazis. They're all violent extremist insurrectionists, and they all had to be arrested. This migrated, and Charlottesville really was a turning point, because it was said at the time, this is coming. This is going to be the outcome for everybody who doesn't go along with this weird globalist communism hybrid agenda that's being pushed. And now we're really literally seeing that playing out in real time. Now you have normal, just run-of-the-mill Republican Trump supporters and the same exact narrative. They're responsible for all the violence, regardless of who did it, regardless of who started what. It doesn't matter. It's all their fault. They're insurrectionists, they're white supremacists, they're evil. They all have to be thrown in jail. They all have to be doxxed. They all have to lose their jobs. They all have to be demonized. Their lives all have to be ruined. And for what? Because they went to a protest that the president of the United States told them to come to? I mean, it's just all breathtaking, and anybody can see this agenda now from a mile away. So yes, no, if they're gonna set these traps up like this, they're gonna have to get a little more, gonna have to get a little more original, come up with some original material, because this is way too obvious.
You know, it's no good for the left either, these echo chambers, because as soon as they get their views challenged, they're going to resort to violence. So it just increases violence all around to have this censorship. But I am encouraged that nobody turned up for the Antifa White Pride rally. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.